Good morning, everybody. Shall we have a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious not only to the one who speak, but to those who hear. And open our eyes so that we not only know you, and we know you better. And I pray that the glorious Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, will give each and every one of us your spirit of wisdom and revelation. And so that we not only know your will, but to do your will. So that when we see you face to face, we'll be richly blessed by you. Not only in the life to come, but now too. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. And I spend a lot of time on the chapter 1, regarding the book of Ephesians chapter 1. There's a lot of hidden truth in the first chapter. I would like to turn back to verse 14. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. We have to understand what does it mean by the redemption of those who are God's possession. I would like you to turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Verse 8 to 11. He remembered his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations. Whatever God promised you, you may not remember, but he always remember, because he remembered his covenant forever. The word he commanded, he remembered for 1,000 generations. The covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. And what kind of covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I want you to write that down. That's verse 11. To you, I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. We know that in the time of King David and King Solomon, they take possessions of the promised land, the land of Canaan, but not forever. It's only a short period of time. It's only a few hundred years. But God remember his covenant forever. So, eventually, in the millennium kingdom, when Jesus Christ come back the second time, he can reign on earth for 1,000 years. And at that time, you will see that. He did indeed remember his covenant forever. The word he commanded, he remembered. He commanded to Abraham, he commanded to Isaac, he commanded to Jacob, he remembered that. And I believe the people of Israel believe in that too. And this is the covenant that God made with the people of Israel. To you, I will give you the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. Unfortunately, the people of Gentile, they don't know or they don't believe in it. So that's why they take possessions of the land of God, and they try to destroy the people of Israel, and eventually they will be destroyed. I want you to write that down right beside 105, verse 11. You write down Psalm 83. I read that to you. There's two things The people of Gentile, they don't understand. They don't understand God's word, so that's why they do things as they see fit, and end up they destroy their own life. Make sure we understand Psalm 105, verse 11, the land of Canaan belongs to the people of Israel, belongs to the people of God. Unfortunately, the Gentile want to take it. There's no new things. What happened before, it happened now. In the end time, a lot of people, all nations, will surround the Jerusalem, try to destroy the people of Israel. But in those days, when they gather together to destroy the people of Israel, they end up being destroyed. Two things I want you to remember, that's the covenant God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Psalm 83, verse 4. Number one, the Gentile people said, come, let us destroy the people of Israel as a nation. You hear from the news that they try to destroy the people of Israel as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. 83 verse 4, that's the enemy of God said that. That's the enemy of Jewish people said that. But this is not what God said. And they try to oppose God. You write that down? Proverbs chapter 21 verse 30. There's no insight, no strength, no wisdom that can subsist against the Lord. The Lord said, what did the Lord say? I want to turn back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. I don't know how many people understand this statement, but I try to explain it so that you can understand. Two things that God make a covenant with the people of Israel. The people of Israel are God's treasure possession. In other words, anyone who touch people of Israel touch the apple of the eyes of God. And if you touch him, and you will be destroyed. Because people of Israel are the treasure possession of God. Okay? And secondly, they want to take the land of Canaan. You write down? Verse 14. Psalm 83, verse 14. You know what the enemy of God say? They say, let us take possessions of the pasture land of God. You write that down? The pasture land of God is Psalm 105, verse 11. To you mean to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. To those God make a covenant with them, to you, I will give the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan is the pasture land of God. To you, I give the land of Canaan, as the portion you will inherit. And God promised two things. I will protect you. I will make sure you're going to go back to the promised land. And I make sure that you're going to take possessions of this piece of property. Because this is the covenant that I make with you. Okay. And then I want to turn to Psalm 100, let me see. I want to let you know why when they try to destroy the people of Israel as a nation and make God very upset. Because God going to use the people of Israel, right beside 83 verse 4, you write down Revelation chapter 11, there's two witnesses come from the people of Israel. You can witness among the Jewish people in Jerusalem for the first 3.5 years in the 7 years of tribulation. That's Moses and Elijah. And I want you to write that down right beside verse 4, Psalm 84, verse 4, in chapter 7 and chapter 14. God couldn't use the people of Israel and take them 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. They're totally 12 tribes. So total is 144,000 people. God going to send them throughout the whole world to save those people who enter into the 7 years tribulation, because they are good pastor and they know the, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're going to preach to the whole world and so to save those who enter the 7 year tribulation. Unfortunately, the enemy of God is the servant of Satan. They don't want the people of Israel to believe in God and to share God's word to the Gentile. And yet the Gentile gathered together. And who are they? I want you to remember that. Verse 5 to verse 6, they are the enemy of God. With one mind, they plot together. They form an alliance against you. Anyone who is against the people Israel is against God. Okay? Against you. I don't know whether you remember that in Acts chapter 9, and Jesus asked Paul, why do you persecute me? At that time, Saul said, I didn't persecute you, Lord. I only persecute those who believe in the false religion. And lo and behold, and Jesus said, you persecute the church, you persecute me. Any Gentile people persecute the people of Israel, I persecute God. With one mind, they plot together, they form an alliance against God. Who are they? They are the tenth of Edom. Edom is the supposed to be the firstborn of Isaac. Okay? It's a Jacob elder brother. The tenth of Edom and the Ishmaelite, who is Ishmaelite? Ishmaelite is Abraham take his slave girl as a wife with the request of his wife to give birth to Ishmael. Okay? And they end up being the enemy of God. Who are they? They are Moabite, Hagri, Gibor, Amalekite, and Philistine, and Tyre, and even Assyria. Who are they? They lend strength to the descendant of Lot. I want you to listen very, very carefully. Who is Lot? Lot is supposed to be the relative of Abraham. When a person leave the word of God, leave Abraham, and they become the enemy of God. Make sure when you believe in Jesus, you don't leave Jesus. When you leave Jesus, you will be in deep trouble. You know what happened? I want you to write that down right beside Lord, okay? You write down 1 Samuel. Take a look at King Saul. When he was anointed to be the king of Israel, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But when he liked to do his own thing, I want you to write that down. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord has departed from Saul. An evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. The moment we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit enter into our heart. Make sure we don't follow the footsteps of King Saul. Disobey God and do things against God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, when he opposed God, when he disobeyed God, and God said, I will anoint another man to replace you. So the Holy Spirit departed from Paul, departed from Saul, and the evil spirit entered into his life. And you know the outcome of his life. At the end of his life, he committed sorcery, divination, and he prayed to God, and God did not answer him because he forsook God. The evil spirit entered into his heart. Now I want to go back. Lord, when he departed from Abraham, and Abraham loved him and rescued him twice, okay? And he is the only one, according to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2. He is the only one that was saved. He can't even save his wife. He can't even save two of his children, okay? Two of his daughter. It is very unfortunate. Lord supposed to be the relative of Abraham, end up gang up with all these wicked people to fight against the people of Israel, not knowing that the people of Israel will save the whole world. That's how God used him. Okay, we have to know God's will. Do you think that pleases the Lord? If the land doesn't belong to you, you don't take possession of it. Two things God promised to Abraham. You are my treasure possession. Treasure possession, that word is designated to the people of Israel. Now I go back. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. That God possession is God's treasure possession. They are God's treasure possession. I want you to turn to Psalm 135. Verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own. For the Lord has chosen Israel to be his treasure possession. Anyone try to destroy them, they are fighting against God. And that's why the psalmist saying that. With one mind they plot together, they form an alliance against you, O Lord, because they are against us. We are your treasure possession. We are the apple of your eyes. If they attack me, that means they attack you. And you're going to do something. And God's going to destroy all those people who's against God's people because they are against God. I say that one more time. Psalm 135 verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own, Israel to be his treasure possession. Right beside treasure possession, Psalm 135 verse 4, you write down Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So what does it really mean? The moment we believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will enter into your heart, give you a guarantee that you're going to inherit the inheritance. You say, Pastor John, I thought that you told me that the people of Israel is God's treasure possession. And now this letter, the book of Ephesians, was written to the Gentile. And how can you relate that? So I want you to write that down. I know Psalm 135 verse 4, that's the promise God gave it to the people of Israel. But I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, The Gentile, mean you and me, the Gentile, are heir together with Israel, member together of one body, and sharer together in the promise in Christ Jesus. The moment the Gentile believe in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we willing to open our heart and ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart, and then the Holy Spirit going to come into your heart, the evil spirit will leave your heart. Before you believe in God, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, you are under the control of the evil spirit. The moment you confess your sins, the moment you ask God to forgive all your sins, the moment you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is going to kick out the evil spirit. And he's going to come into your heart. That Holy Spirit is the deposit guarantee you're going to inherit the inheritance, that promised land, that land of Canaan, that pasture land of God. In other words, if you believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, whatever God has promised to Abraham, and God will give it to you through Jesus Christ. I want you to write that down, that 3:6. You write down Galatians 3:16. Because when God made the promise to Abraham, he promised to Abraham and his seed, that his seed is singular, is not to all other people. Is his seed mean Jesus Christ. Anyone who believe in Jesus Christ, anyone who has the spirit of Jesus Christ within your heart, you will receive the same kind of blessing as the people of Israel. So I go back to explain 1:14. What does it really mean? I say it in my own word first. When will the people of Israel be saved? Because the Bible says that when the redemption of God's possession, when they are saved, then you, Gentile, will take possession of the inheritance. So we wait for the redemption of God's treasure possession. Let's take a look of, we are not supposed to study the book of Ephesians before we study the book of Galatians. But because Joyce is preaching on Galatians, so I don't want to interfere of her preaching. And before you study Galatians, you're supposed to study the book of Romans, okay? And let's turn to the book of Romans. Let's hear Galatians is 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then it's the book of Romans. We studied 1st and 2nd Corinthians too. Okay, turn to book of Romans, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 25. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery. I want to circle the word mystery, okay? Because if it's a mystery, that means not everyone know about that. And then you write down chapter 3, verse 6. This mystery, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heir together with Israel, member together of one body, share together in the promise in Christ Jesus. This is a mystery. I didn't see that all other apostles write so many mysteries, but I see that Paul write that down throughout his writing. I give you another proof. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I read that to you. When I came to you, brother, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Unfortunately, I don't like the interpretation, the testimony about God. And you take a look at the footnotes. I like the footnotes. When I came to you, brother, I did not come with eloquency or superior wisdom, as I proclaim to you, as I proclaim to you God's mystery. What is God's mystery? That is recorded in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus is the Christ and Him crucified. That is a mystery. So I mentioned three mysteries to you. One in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 25. Another is 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Another one is Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 6. Now I go back. Romans, chapter 11, verse 25. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brother, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentile has come in. In other words, when the number of people of Gentile believe in Jesus Christ, that number has already been set by God. That is a mystery. We don't know how many Gentiles will come to know Jesus now. But when that number reach the people of Israel will be saved. In verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved as it is written. So now go back with this in mind. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. We all are going to ask, when are we going to inherit the inheritance? Because God promised us that we're going to take possession of our inheritance. The reason why Jesus Christ gave us the Holy Spirit within our heart, that's a guarantee that we're going to take possession of the promised land together with the people of Israel. Not by force, but by believing in Jesus Christ. Not killing the people of Israel, but loving them. Okay? So I go back to Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 14. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. In other words, when the number of people of Gentile are being saved, when the full number of Gentile has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. All God's treasure possession will be saved. When the people of Israel saved at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we can all, the Gentile believer and the Jewish believer, and they can take possession of the promised land. Praise God for that. Without the Holy Spirit, we won't understand this kind of word. Because Paul is not explaining clearly in chapter 1, verse 14, because he expects you to read the book of Romans. You don't jump and read the Bible. You jump and read the Bible, you won't understand God's word. Same as when you go to school, you don't just jump to study chapter 12 without reading chapter 1 to 11. Am I right? When you jump, you won't understand that. So, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we understand who is God's treasure possession. That's the people of Israel. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we understand what kind of inheritance that He's talking about. The inheritance He's talking about, according to Psalm 83, according to Psalm 105, verse 11, the land of Canaan is your inheritance. They haven't get it. They will get it. When they get it, we're going to rejoice with the people of Israel, and we're going to get it too. Brother and sister, how come? But isn't it when we first started chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, God has chosen us before the creation of the world and chosen us to be holy and blameless in His sight. And He wants us to bless us with spiritual blessing, you know, spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. And how come, Pastor John, you talk about the earthly blessing in the land of Canaan? Brother and sister, if you be able to enter into the millennial kingdom, you'll be able to enter Revelation chapter 21 and 22, the new heaven and new earth. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will open your heart. You'll not only be able to enter the millennial kingdom with a new body. Listen to me carefully. Without a new body, you cannot take possessions of the earthly stuff, the earthly blessing, inheritance, right? Spiritual body do not take possessions of that. So that's why we have to wait for the redemption of God's treasure possession. When the people of Israel being saved, then we take possession with the people of Israel. We go to the promised land just like what God promised us. I say that one more time. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I want you to get this kind of blessing. I write that down there, that's the time span. Now, ever since Jesus Christ was died on the cross, from that time onward, until the church rapture, this is what I call church age. It's a grace spirit. It's a grace period. Okay? We saved by grace. I want to make sure we are somewhere in here. Okay? This is approximately now, it's 2,000 years already, right? But this is a question mark. We don't know when will the church be raptured, taken up. I want to make sure all of you, when Jesus Christ calls your name, because He's your shepherd, He knows your name, and you are His sheep, you recognize His voice too. When He call out your name, assuming like my daughter who passed away in a car accident, they say, Esther. And then Esther recognized Jesus' name. She will rise from the dead, from her tomb. And then Jesus Christ going to call my name and call your name. Assuming, let's say, if today is the day He called our name, then our body, this body is a mortal body. We are dying. We are weaker and weaker now. I don't care how much exercise you're going to do. We are dying. But this dying body will be transformed to have a glorious body that we won't sin against God anymore. It's a new body. And then my daughter, she rise with a new body, and our body will be transformed. And then together we can take up to the heaven, according to First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. We will be taken up to the heaven to meet our Lord Jesus in the sky. And then the Bible said, we will be with Jesus forever. In other words, if you are taken up, that means according to Matthew chapter 25, you are the wise virgin. You not only have lamb to shine for Jesus, you also have extra jar filled with oil to shine for Jesus. That means you are the wise virgin. You prepare ahead of time. You purchase the oil right now so that you can shine for Jesus. You can witness for Jesus. Tell other people who Jesus is. What is he going to do for us? That means you're ready to be taken up. I want to stop here. Assuming you are not the wise virgin, you are the foolish one. So you will not be taken up as a rapture to leave the world. You're going to stay behind for 7 years of tribulation. According to the Bible, in Revelation, half of the world population will go through 7 years of tribulation without dying and enter into the millennium kingdom. And Jesus Christ is going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. I want to stop here now to tell you. Those people who believe in Jesus, who serve Jesus faithfully, when you hear his voice to call your name, whether you are dead already or you are alive, your body will be transformed and taken up to be with Jesus forever and ever. And then in heaven, you will attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. That is a spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Whereas those people, they are foolish virgins, they can't take it up, they left behind, they go through 7 years of tribulation. Through their suffering, they're going to turn around because they listen to the sermon from the 144,000 to Jewish people. They are good preachers. They know both the Old Testament and the New Testament. At that time, you don't believe in God's word. Right now, you don't believe in God's word. At that time, you listen to him. You believe in God's word because you are virgin. Through suffering, the foolish one will become wise. That's what the book of Proverbs say numerous times in numerous chapters. Mocker need to be disciplined in order to become prudent. But a wise man, all you need is a rebuild, and he turn around without suffering. That's the wise virgin. That's the choice that you have to make. If you go through 7 years of tribulation because you believe in Jesus Christ during the 7 years of tribulation, through suffering you turn around to become Christian, you also can enter the millennium kingdom. But you miss the wedding supper of the Lamb. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? But where's those who hasn't believed in Jesus yet? God is gracious to them. Allow all of them, half of the world population, after suffering so much, allow them to enter into the millennium kingdom, and Jesus Christ is going to preach to them according to Micah chapter 4, according to Isaiah chapter 2. And God, Jesus Christ, is going to preach to them for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, they have the chance to hear the gospel, to believe. Some people, they hear the gospel, they still don't understand. So after 1,000 years, Satan was released, and then they get tempted. Those who don't understand the gospel, they're going to follow Satan and be destroyed by Jesus. Then those people, although they can enter into the millennium kingdom, they cannot enter in Revelation chapter 22 and 21. There's a new heaven and new earth. You know what? If you are the wise virgin, make sure you are taken up in the sky, just like what the Bible says, they will be with Jesus Christ forever. That means they won't die. They attend the wedding supper of the Lamb in heaven. After 7 years, they come back without suffering, come back to fight the Third World War. Because at that time, all nations will attack Jerusalem. And you're going to follow Jesus to fight the good fight and establish the Millennium Kingdom. You're going to reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. You're going to be priest for 1,000 years. We're all going to listen to the sermon preached by Jesus Christ. Some people never heard about Jesus Christ. We're going to explain to him what Jesus means. Through this 1,000 years, help them to understand. Then after 1,000 years, during that 1,000 years, the people come down. They won't sin against God. They guarantee they'll go up to the new heaven and new earth. This is the gospel. And through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, we know His plan. I want to make sure you come to the church. You don't just listen. If you just listen, you don't do anything about that. You don't have extra jar with oil. You are the foolish virgin. Because you don't shine for Jesus. You live for yourself. And you're going to regret. You know who lived for himself? You write that down. Lord is the one who lived for himself. When he becomes rich, he's proud and arrogant. He said, I cannot live with you, Abraham, because our servant fight with your servant. There's not enough space for us. So he went away from Abraham. And he can only say for himself, Lot is just like what? You know where's Lot staying? Do you know? According to Genesis, Lot stay in a wicked place. He lived like the worldly people. And he preached the gospel. No one believed in him. Because he became part of them. Lot lived in Sodom. And 2 angels were sent to rescue them. When Lot left the place of Sodom, he left the place with an empty hand. He's a foolish virgin. He goes through suffering in order to be saved. To me, he's the virgin, but he's a foolish one. He left that place with an empty hand. He didn't have any place, any wealth, any houses left for his descendants. Okay? Make sure when we enter heaven, we don't enter heaven with the empty handed. And I'm very happy. I'm very happy that Sadi bring his friend, bring her friend to come. You know? Because you come here, now you know God's will. You don't have to believe in me. All you have to do is buy a Bible. Hopefully, don't buy the Chinese one, or don't just buy an English one. Buy a Bible with Chinese and English. And you read it yourself. And if you find anything other than what I say, you come back to me and ask me. Okay? And I'm very happy that you come. Last Thursday is the second time I met you. And brother and sister, especially those English-speaking brother and sister, I start leading Bible study on Thursday evening at Key's house. And I encourage you to read the Bible yourself. Think anything you don't understand, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, you're welcome to ask any question during that period of time. If there's no question, and I'm just leading the Bible study, and I started that since Thursday. Don't ever say to me you don't understand the Bible because Pastor John did not teach you. I'm teaching you. It's up to you whether you want to be to be fed. And I know there are a lot of mystery that is recorded in the Bible. And I don't think you understand all. We need to study that. We need to hide that within our heart. When people ask us, we can tell them, save their soul. And Jesus said, if you save their soul on my behalf, when you are in distress and in trouble, I'm your ever-present help in troubles. I will deliver you and help you. You being a sluggard and not helping other people, especially your friend, to come to know Jesus, when you are in deep trouble, just like King Saul, God did not answer his prayer because he persecuted King David. I want to go back. Go ahead. Kingdom. Depends. If you are the one who goes through the 7-year tribulation, I'm sorry, you don't have a new body. You still will sin against God. Okay? But just that throughout, from Adam all the way to right now, everyone needs to hear the word of God and believe in the word of God, then you are saved. What's the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus is the word of God. Abraham believed in the word of God. He was counted as righteous in God's sight. You believe in word of God, then you are righteous in God's sight. Now, in the church age, you believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the word of God, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. So you believe in Jesus, that means you believe in the word of God. Then you believe in word of God, and God counted you as righteous. The thing that you have done wrong, he holds no account against you. All your sin has been covered. That's by grace. That's a mystery. Okay? And same as Abraham. Abraham made mistake too, right? Abraham lied too, right? But the Lord covered his sin. Okay? Blessed are those whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose sins do not take against you. Okay? He keep no record of your sin. Then you are blessed. Not everyone who enter in the millennium kingdom with a new body. I say one more time. Only the wise virgin who attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. Because we need a body in order to eat the wedding supper of the Lamb. And with that new body, because in Revelation, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, and Paul used the word to comfort the people in Thessalonica. And then Paul said that, I want you to encourage each other with this word. What word? We will be with the Lord forever. Because we suffer enough already. We don't need to go through the 7 years. Okay, you know what? If the Lord say, you will be with me forever, that means what? You're good to go. Right? Spare you from going through the 7-year tribulation. And when you come back, you're going to reign with Jesus. You won't sin because you have a new body. Right beside chapter 4, verse 17, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Who are we? Those who die in the Lord and those who live for Jesus when he comes back the second time. We will be taken up in the sky and to meet our Lord Jesus Christ. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus Christ come back to fight the, the battle of Armageddon. We can just follow him. We don't have to do any fighting. We just sing the song. Okay, he's a mighty God, okay? And then we see the whole world, those who are against people of Israel will be destroyed. And then Jesus Christ can establish the millennium kingdom, and we enter in the millennium kingdom to reign with Jesus as priest and as king for 1,000 years to teach other people about the word of God. Brother and sister, make sure you understand God's word now. Prepare yourself. Just like you, in order to be a judge, you need to be a lawyer. In order to be a lawyer, you need to go to school in law school. That's what we are preparing ourselves to study God's word so that we become king. We become judge. When we judge, we don't judge people according to our own opinion. We judge people according to the word of God. So you cannot work just like the book of Ecclesiastes in darkness. You can only work in the light right now. You learn while you can right now. Okay? Then you're well prepared to reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. And those people who can enter millennium kingdom by grace, this is by grace that he can enter. I want to draw another map. You remember people in the wilderness for how long? For 40 years. You remember that? A lot of people complain. Those people who are 20 years plus, or the male, other than Joshua and Caleb, they cannot enter the promised land because they rebel against God. They are being foolish, okay? But those women, those younger people, they can all enter the promised land by grace. By grace. And God predicted that. Even though you enter, because you are rebellious too. Because I promised Abraham you will enter, you will enter. But you enter not because you are good, but because I promise you. And then you don't change your life, you keep doing your own thing, you'll be kicked out. Where did the Bible say? Go to Psalm 106, verse 26. Not everyone who entered the promised land is good to go. Those people who enter the promised land, if their life are changed, they're good to go. I read that to you. Starting in verse 24. Then they despise the pleasant land. Any person despise the pleasant land is in the inheritance land, is a pasture land of God, the land of Canaan, anyone who despised that, and they did not believe in God's promise, they grumble in their tent, and they did not obey God. So God swore to them with an uplifted hand that he would make them fall in the desert. Over 600,000 people, over what? 600,000 people, I think. Plus, they die in their desert. They cannot enter the promised land. And then those people who enter the promised land, God say in verse 27, I will make their descendant who enter the promised land fall among the nation. They will be kicked out of the promised land and captured in the Assyria, captured in the Babylon. That's what the Bible say, and scatter them throughout the land. That's why in New York, in New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Hong Kong, China, England, I see Jewish people. They're not supposed to be there. They're supposed to be in promised land. You know what? We Chinese are very much like the Jewish people. We are scattered throughout the whole world. You know why? Because we don't believe in God. You scatter throughout the whole world so that you go to a foreign land, you become alien, to become stranger, then you hear the gospel, then you believe in God. That is God's word. You know why they scatter throughout the whole land? They get persecution. They get suffering. They turn to God. Can you imagine, you know, I give you one illustration. Wen Ji, right? Can you imagine, you know, assuming 4 years later you graduate with a PhD from U of A? I guarantee you, if China is just as good as Canada, if you graduate with a PhD degree, you will get a better job in China, if China is as good as Canada, than you work in a foreign land. Because you speak fluent Mandarin. Am I right? It's good for us to be in our own land. You know why we are scattered throughout the whole land, whole world? Through suffering, through pain, through affliction, we turn to God. Isn't it good stuff? Same thing. All right? Did I answer your question? They won't die. Yeah, just like us. Give them a chance to believe in God. Yeah, but no, in Millennium Kingdom, according to Isaiah chapter 65, those people who only live up to 100 years, they are cursed by God. They're supposed to live like a tree, live like 1,000 years. Because people, you know why God is like that? Because people complain, say, oh, I read the Genesis from chapter 1 to chapter 5. I found out that, oh, in those days, people live up to 969 years. How can it be? You know what? In Millennium Kingdom, you suppose your life, your age, like the tree, 1,000 years. And those people who live only up to 100 years, they are cursed by God because they sinned against God during that time. Okay? Isaiah chapter 65. I encourage you to come and study with me on Thursday at Key's house. Key is okay? Huh? All right? No, 7:30. Pizza Limited, you see? Or Seat Limited. Oh, I thought you served with pizza. Of course. All right, so we pray. Our Heavenly Father, if we don't study in detail, we don't even know your will. Not everyone who call you Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of the Father will enter. Lord, if we don't understand, how can we do your will? Help us to read your word. And help us to have deeper understanding of who you are, what you have in store for us. We don't want to be like the foolish virgin. We want to be like the wise virgin. We want to follow the footsteps of King David. We don't want to follow the footsteps of King Saul. They are both Jewish people. They are both Abraham descendants. Some are foolish, some are wise. Lord, we want to be wise, so help us, God. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.